Nelson Mandela's ancestral home in Mbezo in the Eastern Cape has been a hive of activity today as it hosted a Kurbani ceremony, a very first for the community. This was the first time in history that the isiXhosa community witnessed a Muslim slaughtering ritual, one that shares many resonances with local culture. Over 2,000 people, including local chiefs and Xhosa royalty, were in Mbezo for the event. The cultural exchange visit was organized by OCAF South Africa and Inayat Vakfi in Turkey as part of OCAF's Share the Care Kurbani program. Members of the ulama were also part of the delegation. Ahead of the event today, Mandla Mandela, who became chief of the Mbezo Traditional Council in 2007, took the Muslim delegation around the village. He gave some interesting insight into the history of the Abatembu royal family and the Madiba clan.
So if you look at the Mthatha district, ends at the river. Across the river, it is Dujo. It is then also the Xhosas on the other side and us, the Tembus, on this side of the rivers. So it's two different monarchs, Abatembu this side and amaXhosa on the other side. And the Mandela royal family looks over seven villages. So this is the first village here, Mazikanye, which is what you see in this precinct. And then the second village is on the other side of that hill. Just look, as we were driving up, you could see the village. My family was founded by a young prince, King Gubengcuka, who ruled from 1790 to 1832. Had primary five sons, Mtikaka, Nganeni, Joy, Shweni, and Mandela was the youngest. All five of them took their chieftaincy. The heir became Mtikaka, and hence the house of Dalindyebo, King Dalindyebo, comes out of that house of the Mtikakas. Umandela, who founded our family surname from, and my son is named after him, Mandela, Ikram Mandela. Comes from that name. He was my grandfather's grandfather. So Mandela had five children, three daughters and two sons. Betty Wenozmile Mpaganyiswa, my grandfather's father, Mariana and Mapepe. Mpaganyiswa was the first in the family to take over the chieftaincy that was allocated to his father. And he became then the first administrator of these lands. He oversaw over these villages in this southern part of the kingdom. And in the early 20s, he was forcefully removed from here and we relocated to Kuno. At that time, Phakanyiswa had three wives. Umanqanda, that was the wife there in Mvezo where we were. And then Umabhedla was from another village just next to the N2 in Chalaga. And then you had Mampemvu, my grandfather's mother, that was staying in Kuno. So when he was forcefully removed by a white magistrate for defying a white magistrate, we then relocated to Kuno. And while he was in Kuno, he took the fourth wife, Mamyalo. And our family today is defined per these four houses from Mphakanyiswa's chieftaincy. So if you meet many of our family members, the first thing you ask is, from which house of Mphakanyiswa are you from? Most of the three, that being the great wife in the first house, the second house, perished those houses. There is only a old man that is born by my grandfather's sister from the first wife, who you will meet. I'm always with in various meetings we attend. So he's the only surviving member of that family. The second house perished in its entirety. The third house is my grandfather that survived with his two sisters, that one was married in the upper area towards Piki, the other one in in Mount Frere. But my grandfather's household only had two sons, if you're speaking of a patriarchal society. But if you are looking at the entire children, my grandfather had six children. So again, we are defined by those members of the family. We had lost our chieftaincy for almost 87 years after we were removed from Vezo to Kono, and the household there perished in those decades. It was only in April 2007 that my grandfather ensured that we came to reclaim our chieftaincy by having me coronated on the 16th of April as the chief. Yeah. And he actually made one of the shortest speeches I've witnessed of him making, but yet very potent words that he said, "Today I can go to my resting place a happy man." Because first of most is that my father's homestead has been restored. But secondly, and most importantly, an injustice has been corrected today, that my father's chieftaincy has been restored. So it is really that huge challenge that rests upon us, the younger generation in the family. And we have taken to heart those words, and this is why we focus on championing projects of development in the community. But I think most importantly has been the work that we've been doing into the community is to live up Madiba's legacy and what he has been able to teach to us firsthand, but also from what he championed throughout his 67 years of serving humanity.
In honor of South Africa's most famous freedom fighter, the first high school in Mvezo is named the Mandela School of Science and Technology. It is the brainchild of Mandla Mandela. Prior to the establishment of the high school, there had been no secondary school in the area, and children would have to travel as far as Mthatha, at least 80 kilometers away, to continue their education.
So immediately when I was coronated, this became one of our core projects. We used to have a rundown school, which we passed at the bottom there. It was built by Anglo Gold, and they built three classrooms. And here there was this rendezvous and what we call a flat. If you see those two rendezvous there, that building in the middle, it's what we call a flat because it's just a square building. And some, they divide it internally, but some you just use it. And this is what we call a flat. So the community in this end, they built this rendezvous and they had a primary school in this rendezvous. Yeah. So you had four teachers in that rendezvous teaching.
Here?
Yes, this rendezvous standing here. Four teachers standing back to back, teaching four different classrooms. And as the numbers grew, they built a flat like that. And again, in that flat, they had three different classes of kids. So when I was coronated, this community appealed, "Chief, the primary school there has got three decent classrooms. Please assist us in building another primary school there." And then I asked the fundamental question: you have a primary school there, you want another primary school where you have dropouts of your kids at grade 7, because after that there is no other facilities. Those that dare go to Mthatha or go to Dutywa, they are prone to substance and alcohol abuse, they are prone to teenage pregnancies. I think it's incorrect for us to focus on another primary school. Let us build a high school and then grow our primary school to a sizable school. They agreed, and we put our thoughts in and around this. Then we were fortunate that in 2010, Siemens was celebrating 150 years being in the country, and they were looking for a substantial project to invest in.
Mandla says Siemens provided funds for the construction of the Mandela High School, equipping it with essential resources.
Then they happened to phone a CEO of Eastern Cape Development Corporation, ECDC. And it happened to be a vibrant uncle of mine from my grandmother's family. So my grandfather's first wife was Evelyn Masse. She's the one that had four children with my grandfather, two sons and two daughters. And the CEO was an uncle of mine, Stembele Masse. He then got a call from Stengo Bese at Siemens saying, you know, we're looking for a project. Can you recommend something we can do within your province? Because Eastern Cape is one of the impoverished provinces in the country. And my uncle, without hesitancy, says, can you please visit my nephew? He's someone that thinks of these big things that we cannot comprehend.
Mashallah.
So Stair came on a Thursday. She gave me a call on a Wednesday. I agreed to see her on a Thursday. She came to the village and found this challenge that we had these two primary schools, which were not even nothing to show, and we had no high school. And we said, well, our desire, and Madiba being one of our grounding forces, because, you know, my grandfather believes education is a weapon one could utilize to change the world. We said, this is the only solution to alleviating poverty in this area. We would like to build a high school. Said, there is no high school in Madiba's birthplace. I said, there's none, you can see. Said, okay, do you know how much it will be? I say, we just have a concept now. She made a call to the head office. They called her back to Midrand. So she went back on an afternoon flight. On Thursday, she was told, get on a flight, come to Germany. She got on a flight, went with the CEO. I've just presented the project to Siemens. They are shocked that in Madiba's birthplace there's no high school.
Wow.
How much will it cost to build the school? Say, well, this thinking must be presented on a paper and someone must draw the concept. So they said, okay, we're depositing 500,000 into your account as a community. Find someone to design the school.
Wow.
So we happened to find a young man from Queenstown, Andre Feliun, who actually designed the Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital in Mthatha. So I said, Andre, you've done a legacy project in my grandfather's name. We would like you to design something in his birthplace. He designed this school, 100 million rand worth. And Siemens donated 10 million euros, amounting to about 100 million rands. And we realized one of our biggest dreams. So this has been realized by Siemens.
How many students are here?
Manla says there are plans to expand the school's facilities and provide Islamic education in rural areas. He was given the reassurance by OCAF South Africa chairman Harun Kala that they would support any such initiative.
The school is built for 700 learners, and I think on this current year we have 712 learners.
All from the villages.
All from the village. But one thing that we've come to realize now, because of the nature of the school being a science and technology school and being a school of excellence, it has attracted kids as far as Mthatha, Dutywa, Butterworth and Ngcobo. And we have now designed a project to build accommodation adjacent to the school. Because of the numbers that we are getting. And we estimate that if we can accommodate about 350 of those students adjacent to the school, then we can be able to accommodate some of the learners. You know, some of the learners are actually residing in these homes. They are renting rooms, 250 rands per month a room. But again, we've been exposed to student safety. One of them left from a house, I think, that a cream house he was renting there. He went right next to the road. There's a tavern there. Was stabbed dead. You know, these are the challenges that we are continuing to have. And we, as a family, now begin to look at the work we do. You've built such an exceptional school. What are the challenges that are coming up? Then you find that you also again want to correct the wrongs that you are seeing. We are beginning to speak to the Turkish government to say, you know, being a Muslim as well and looking at Islam in rural South Africa, we want to ensure that we can also be instrumental in growing the religion in our rural areas. So how do we take this school, partner, and ensure that we build a madrasa here and have accommodation and ensure that through a curriculum that is aligned with our schooling system, we're still able to have Islamic learning on the side and also accommodation that is suitable. So it will be good to see as to how we can engage with yourself as our CAF, as to what you're thinking is, how do we fully utilize such a school to benefit and also further the growth of Islam in rural areas?
SubhanAllah. Inshallah, I think from our point of view, we're here to work with you in any form and shape, to assist in any way, inshallah. So you've got our full support. Whatever we can do on our side, we are going to put our hearts forward. And, you know, the legacy that your grandfather has left for the country, I think it's only our duty to do that. So, and we are very, very pleased that you are sharing this project with us. It's our honor to be part of it, inshallah. So, whichever way I'm speaking on behalf of our OCAF, and I think our community, that we need to participate in this project. And you will see, inshallah, we would like to engage with you. Whatever we need to do, we are even happy to maybe help you design the school, the living quarters, and we're happy to contribute towards that, you know, the feasibility study of that, inshallah.
For VOC News, I'm Tasneem Adams.